Hello again, intrepid listener. This is part two of the best of series three, and I hope you enjoy.
With Greece. Greece is a word to me, so great title up on there from David. So this is Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou.
Yeah.
I may have insulted his entire just his entire family line by saying that so badly. But he said that he's ready to drop the proposed referendum on the country's Eurozone bailout deal that was supposed to be held sort of soonish. He said he was focused on talks to secure opposition support in Parliament, which would make the vote unnecessary.
Even though that they can't actually afford to have a referendum.
Yeah.
So it's not really going to work having a referendum that would bankrupt your country.
So, well,
it's a bit silly.
His announcement of the referendum angered European leaders and sent shockwaves through the market because it was basically like, we're giving you this money, and it was like,
we don't want it.
We'll vote on it. And it's like, no, you need to take it right now. Stop being a petulant child. The main opposition has called for his resignation and snap elections and walked out of the debate in Parliament ahead of the conference on Friday. Mr. Papandreou's Socialist Party holds a slim majority in Parliament with 152 out of 300 seats.
Oh.
So, like, a two-seat majority?
Mm.
Yes, thank you. Brilliant maths. The New Democracy leader, Antonis Samaras, said Mr. Papandreou had nearly destroyed Europe and the euro with his call for a referendum. Mr. Papandreou told MPs it would be irresponsible for the government to resign, but he was not clinging on to any chair.
That's an interesting way of putting it. To the fact that he's nearly destroyed, like, the recovery of the euro, by going, you know, I'm going to ask everyone what they think about this, and why did he even decide to do this? What is the reason for it?
Well, how could you possibly say no to an amount of money which will not save only your country but every other country who is in the euro?
It's just like, you just don't hold a referendum on a bailout. It's like, do we need our country to be saved? Yes, let's get a bailout and then go, let's vote on it.
It's like saying, oh, there's a volcano going off, shall we have a referendum to see if we move or not?
Shall we try and move away from the boiling hot lava?
Oh.
Maybe.
Greece, what are you doing?
Yeah, essentially, Greece, just stop it. Stop it right now.
It's near Christmas as well. It's starting to get near Christmas. And if they ruin, like, the euro and everyone else's Christmas, then
yeah,
no one will lend them any money. Like, France and Germany are already like, do we have to lend this money to them?
Like that with Iceland.
Oh, are you calling out the Icelandish?
Icelandic, Adam. The Icelandic people. Yeah. God, what are you?
You will never live that down.
They're not the Icelandish at all.
But hopefully this story will go away because Greece will start, you know, behaving responsibly.
Yeah, good. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen them do the referendum just to see Angela Merkel going to kill mode.
Now, you've got that cup of tea, you've had a little cry, that bad taste in your mouth is back. A total of 5,795 people may have had their phones hacked by the News of the World. Yes, that's 5,795. The figure was very likely to be revised in the future following further analysis, the Metropolitan Police said, and that's upwards.
Yeah.
In July, police said they had gathered material containing 3,870 first and second names of people whose phones could have been illegally accessed. The News of the World was shut down in July, sadly, after it emerged phone hacking could have been more widespread than initially thought.
Sadly, for what reason?
Amusement purposes?
Yeah, purely amusement purposes, not because we enjoy their journalism.
Yeah, definitely.
We enjoy having page details tell us about politics.
Clive Goodman and the private investigator Glenn Mulcair were jailed in 2007 after admitting the practice, which was portrayed at the time as a work of a rogue reporter. 5,795 people.
How did he get through that many people?
It's impressive work rate, by the way.
I mean,
the young man.
Someone should work out how many days he actually worked there and work out how many people's phones he hacked daily.
The thing is, if he's paid on commission, then that's going to be a lot of money.
Yeah. Say if he worked there for 2 years, he's got to be getting through like 10 numbers a day or something of people that he's just hacking.
In a statement issued on Thursday, the Met said that Operation Wheating continues to analyse relevant material. It is not possible to give a precise figure about the number of people whose phones have actually been hacked, but we can confirm that as of today's date, the current number of potentially identifiable persons who appear in the material and who may therefore be victims, where names are noted, is 5,795. But we tried to get in touch with Rupert Murdoch, but obviously he couldn't be reached to comment, and I'm a bit upset now because I rang him using my phone, so I don't know what's going to happen.
You ring him on like a collect call number as
I
well.
I forgot to put 141 in the front. Yeah.
Now he's got your number.
Oh. Yeah. I spoke to him the other day, actually. I asked him if he felt any remorse, and he said, hang on, I'll just check my bank balance. No, I don't.
This is depressing. This is going to drag on.
I thought we dealt with this like last in summer when we did the podcast, and it was like, yeah, it's finished now. They've got over it. It's gone under now. No one cares anymore. And then they just keep going. Yeah, we found another 1,000 people that have been. It's like, oh, come on.
It's gonna go on longer than a Steps reunion tour. That's how annoying this is becoming. They've come back, and phone hacking has come back.
I think we should play some Steps after if they haven't.
No.
You've got to say that Glenn Mulcair is quite good at his job.
Well, it's not really a job, it's an illegal activity.
Yeah, but for what he was hired to do, he did that quite impressively.
Yeah.
He was hired to do it on 5,000 people. Glenn, we want you to hack everyone's phones in the country. Work through it.
Do you reckon his main aim is to get through 7 billion people, since we've just hit 7 billion now in the population?
Yeah.
He wants to try and get through everyone.
Wants to listen to everyone's voicemails.
Wonder what he's like in prison as well.
Well, he'd be hacking everyone else's phone calls while they're, like, talking to their wives. But
when they said, you get one phone call a day. Oh, do you now? Yes.
He's like, it's not enough.
Just sat there listening to everyone else's voicemails.
Yeah.
Oh, hopefully this story will go away forever.
Well, we hope, and hopefully you'll just carry on serving his time in prison.
By the way, you need to ring Twill Lawyer after the Rupert Murdoch remark.
Yeah, I'd probably go and talk to Mikey now, actually. All right, thinking about it, guys.
Bring in Mark.
Shall I bring him in?
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, lads. How's it going?
Yeah, right, Matt. So, everyone, this is Mark. He's our friend who's sadly on the dole, and he's agreed to come in today to talk about certain...
Yeah, it's not my fault, like...
All right, Mark. It's about certain world issues you come to talk about. He can be said to have some enlightened views on the world, and by enlightened, we mean very much in the shadow to world events.
What do you mean?
Don't worry about it, Mark. It basically means that, you know, sometimes you're in the dark about certain world events. You don't really know what's going on in the world.
Well, I'm going to be in the dark, aren't I? Because, like, the clocks went back last week, so something to do with winter. So I'm going to be in the dark. You know, so about farmers. I don't really know. Like, I don't know why they need extra light, because they've got loads on the front of their tractor anyway.
Right. Moving on away from the tractors, Mark.
I like tractors. Especially like the John Deere Classic. It's a... It's a good machine for
obviously
farm.
You can get other type of agricultural vehicle.
Yeah, but I like that one the best.
What do you think about the Arab Spring, Mark? What do you think about it?
Well, that's why the clocks went back, I think. It's because they don't have a spring unless we put the clocks back, so it's us being nice to them, really.
It's not really anything to do with clocks, Mark.
It's a series of revolutions in the Middle East, Mark.
Oh, like in France? That's in the Middle East.
Like Arab nations, you know, like Libya, Syria, Egypt, those kind of places that have been in the news. Do you have any thoughts on it?
What, so like they're revolting? I don't really know why they're revolting, because they've got like nice weather. We've got beer on tap wherever you go, and like they don't even have to leave their own country to go on holiday. It's dead nice.
It's about dictators, Mark. They want to be able to run their own country, not be told what to do.
Oh, I get you. Like democraticity, like we have when we go vote for them booth things.
Do you mean a general election and a voting booth, Mark?
Well, I don't know, mate. My mum said I had to go to a school to vote, but I've done school, so like I don't know why I had to do it again. So I never went. I never voted, like, because I thought, well, I'm 26, so why should I go back to school? I ain't been there in, like, 20 years. So, you know, all these little kids coming out the front door, and there's me. I'd look well stupid in a uniform.
Have you ever actually voted?
Yeah, I voted on some TV shows, like X Factor and stuff like that, but I don't think they counted my vote, because, like, I've never topped up my house phone or anything. Like, I don't know if it's, like, pay-as-you-go or whatever, so I don't know if they charge me.
Mark, it's because...
Mark, what do you... Is the Arab Spring good or bad?
Well, going off what it's good, innit, like, because you said, because that they get to vote and that's like a good thing, isn't it?
Yes, Mark, yes it is. Finally, Mark, what do you think about the Eurozone issue?
I don't even know what a Eurozone is. What is it?
It's an economic zone.
Oh, zones, like in Crystal Maze. It's one of my favourite TV shows, you know, like they had the Aztec zone and they had like the medieval zone. It was like an old zone, but it was dead evil, so they called it the medieval zone. But like, is this like a new one, like the Euro one? Because I've not seen Crystal Maze. I only saw it on the other TV for the other day.
No, Mark, it's a zone of countries who have a currency the Euro. You know, we have pounds.
Yeah.
They have their currency called the Euro.
Oh, right. So... Well, can they buy anything with these euros? Like, because if it's in pounds, then they can't buy it because it's like me going like shops with Monopoly money to get a few cans. Like, it wouldn't work, would it?
No, Mark. No, probably not. Do you have any idea what's going on in Greece?
Well, I read in some paper this girl on page 3, right, she was well clued in. She said basically that Greece owes loads of money to people, but it's not got any money because no, like they lost the bank card or something. So all I know is, like, when they go to, like, the shops to get a few cans or whatever and some, like, pork scratchings, they can't pay for stuff because, like, they don't know the PIN number because the Prime Minister changed it when he was drunk, like...
What?
So, you know, they can't get, like, any money. No, I'm telling the truth, right? He was well drunk, right? And he changed it, like, completely, so he could never work it out. Like, he tried to trick himself so he couldn't take any money out because he knew he was already drunk. So basically, we can't help them because they only have quids and, like, they have these Europe things. But what I don't get is, right, why don't they just print more money? Because if they've just lost it, they just get some more. Everyone's got a scanner. You can just scan like, a Europe in and then print it out again. And you've doubled your money.
It's an interesting way of looking at it, that is, Mark.
I think it's the correct way.
Do you actually know what's going on in the world markets at all?
In markets? Yeah, well, like, because markets are, like, there's one in town near my house, right? And I got some oranges, and they said it was from Spain. So I was like, that's a worldwide market, because, like, there's a market with Spanish oranges.
Jesus.
All right. Yeah, lads, what's up? Is Mark doing all right? Well, no, basically, Ben, I was just saying, right, the world market, they just asked me about them, and I'm just telling them, because they don't really know what we're talking about. I said that world markets aren't as good as because people don't go to markets anymore. They go to supermarkets, like... You know, like Superman, it's like that version but a market. So world markets are like going down because no one's going to them because there's like a better one right down the road. So why would you go to a market when you can go to a super one?
Yeah, of course. Whose friend is he?
Well, thank you very much for your views, Mark.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, it's been nice having you.
Yeah, well, I've got to go anyway. I think Ben's coming back anyway, but I've got to go pick my little boy up from the pub, right, and then got to go sign on anyway because he's got playgroup tomorrow morning. And it's a bit annoying when he's had too many, so I'll just get him now while he's only had half.
What?
You best get on that, Mark.
Yeah, so if you need us to talk some sense again, lads, you know, you lads, you're all good at your books and that, university and stuff like that, but you don't know the real world, I don't think, you don't even been out there, you know. I graduated from University of Life, like...
Evidently with a third.
Yeah, right, so I'll go, lads. Are you coming back, Ben? Yeah, where'd I leave my keys? Adam, do you know where I parked?
No, mate. Thanks very much for coming in there, Mark.
Yeah, cheers, lads. Do you want to bang a tune on by one of my favourite bands?
Oh, okay. What is your favourite band?
It's Oasis. They're well good, mate.
Okay, mate. We'll stick a song on for you.
Thanks, mate.
This is She's Electric, everyone.
That was Oasis, chosen by our good friend Mark.
Where did you find him?
I found him eating out of a skip.
I think he could, you know, verify the claim of being the most idiotic person I've ever met.
He was eating crisps.
Ugh.
And sat in a skip.
Well,
but, you know, if people like you, I think we should have him back a bit more often, maybe.
Yeah.
Seems to talk a bit of sense.
Yeah, sense by nonsensical ramblings. But,
We're starting off with a great man. A great man who will forever be a hero.
You used the word great in such a wrong use of it, in my
such
opinion.
Such a bad way. But it's... who wants to take this gold mine of comedy? Do you want to go over this one, Adam? It's Silvio Berlusconi.
I think we may have a fight.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to do a few stretches, get ready for this story.
Warm up, because you're definitely going to need it.
Italian Prime Minister... well, he was the Italian Prime Minister at the time that we were reporting this. Silvio Berlusconi has confirmed it. He intends to resign after key economic reforms have been improved, which, you know, has obviously been going on. His announcement follows a vote in the Italian Parliament on the budget in which he appeared to lose his majority. Both allies and opponents have been urging Mr. Berlusconi to step down as Italy's debt crisis grows. Borrowing rates have shot up this week, raising concerns over whether Italy can service its debts. Whilst Italy's deficit is relatively low, investors are concerned with the combination of Italy's low growth rate and €1.9 trillion debt could make it the next country to fall in the Eurozone debt crisis. That's $1.63 trillion in real money.
In real money?
In real money.
That is dangerous.
I know. He has somehow survived more than 50 confidence votes. Probably by buying them, but doesn't really matter. But has recently become mired in a series of legal and sex scandals, as well as political and economic crisis. The markets rose in the immediate aftermath of Berlusconi announcing that he was going to resign, highlighting the complete lack of faith the rest of the world has in his ability to govern effectively.
Silvio.
I'm going to miss him.
I won't at all.
Should we do a quick rundown of amazing things that he has done and said in his time in office?
Claims from Silvio Berlusconi. Claim one is that he could only be Prime Minister part-time because he had to... he was too busy sleeping with beautiful women.
He also said that, this is quote, "Bunga bunga parties help my politics." Bunga bunga, of course, well, take your own meaning from that, but...
He's also the Jesus Christ of politics.
He also, when pulled up in court for using his media organisations to, let's say, not be very impartial on the election, said, "Well, what's the point of owning a media organisation if it can't make you look good?"
And finally, as well, the man who, well, not finally, there's one more as well. It's that funny. He gets travel expenses and decided to add €4,000 worth of travel expenses and then claim that he bought a jet ski.
And after a old Michelangelo statue was broken, he decided that, obviously with the penis dropping off, the only natural thing to do would be for safekeeping to move that statue to his personal home. And I don't know how he did this, made the new penis magnetic so it could be taken on and off.
Yeah.
It's
all out
be
of taxpayer money. These things are all out of taxpayer money.
It's going to be interesting.
And how many court cases has he been? Because you told me this number, Dave, and I couldn't actually believe it.
It is, well, would you like a multiple choice?
Yeah, go on.
Could it be first option, least worst, 250?
Well, that's okay, sounds realistic.
Would you say maybe 800?
No.
Which sounds incredulous.
Too much.
It's too much.
C, which is 2,500.
Oh, well, you're ridiculous. It's got to be 250, I think.
It's 250.
It's C.
What?
It is definitely C.
Seriously?
And C is 2,500
times. Which...
That explains why he only has time to be Prime Minister part-time. He's in court the rest of it.
He is literally unbelievable.
And he survived 50 confidence votes in Parliament. How? Italy? I mean, come on, man. Italy. Two and a half. Alright, get off the story, because
we'll miss Silvio. We will miss him.
Well, he was also the person who said after an earthquake struck to people who had no homes and were living in tents, "Don't worry, pretend you're on holiday."
Yeah.
He's also governed a country where every time he had a sex scandal, his approval ratings would go rocket through the roof.
Oh, Silvio.
I don't know whether I'll miss him or I'm glad he's gone. Because I'll miss him for the amusement of just... He has a face which looks a little bit like The Mask, if anyone's ever seen the film The Mask, where it just looks like someone's put a bit of, like, fabric over his face and then just pulled it really, really hard. But will we actually miss Silvio Berlusconi?
Don't think Italy will miss him.
No.
Or other world politicians, especially Angela Merkel, after choice comments.
Very choice. You can find out about them online, because we definitely cannot broadcast what he said.
Go on, I'll have a go.
No, don't. Really don't. Basically said she was a rather unattractive lady.
In some offensive words.
In much more offensive words than that.
But, you know, Berlusconi's gone now, and... we'll only have to see who will take over in his psychotic reign of terror. Europe. Spring news now.
Boing.
That noise is
essentially... That was a bouncing bomb.
That was a bouncing bomb. The UN's nuclear watchdog says it has information indicating Iran has carried out tests relevant to the development of nuclear explosive devices. In its latest report on Iran, the IAEA...
The great mouthful.
It's so hard to say. The International Atomic Energy Association...
Well done, sir.
Agency. Damn it, close. Says the research includes the computer models that could only be used to develop a nuclear bomb trigger. Correspondents say this to, say this is the IAEA. That is really annoying. Toughest report on Iran to date. Tehran condemned the findings as politically motivated. What a surprise. This report is unbalanced, unprofessional, unprepared, with political motivation and under political pressure, mostly by the United States, said Ali Haskar Saltanya, Iran's envoy to the IAEA, whilst Ahmadinejad waved his fist over his shoulder.
Get off my lawn.
It was a repetition of old claims which are proven baseless by Iran in a precise 117-page response, he added. Why did he need to add that?
In their own report, they found themselves not guilty.
Yeah, and it was only a precise 117-page report.
Iran says its nuclear program is solely to generate civilian power, i.e. that type of civilian power which wipes them off the face of the earth. Civilians in, let's say, Israel. The BBC's Bethany Bell in Vienna has examined the IAEA.
You're so mature.
Latest quarterly report on Iran's nuclear program. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to pass it over to you.
Why are you having a laughing attack? Her name. God. She said the report gave detailed information, some of it new, suggesting that Iran had conducted computer modelling of a kind that would only be relevant to nuclear weapon building. And basically, this report highlights this new IAEA or IAEA.
Yeah.
All the vowels. The vowel report basically said.
Yes, that's what we'll call it from now on.
It's the Dr. Seuss report, okay? The report said that the new evidence that they had was that Iran were working on fast-acting detonators, tests of detonators consistent with simulating explosions from a nuclear device, the acquisition of nuclear weapons development information and documentation from a clandestine nuclear supply network, and work on the development of an indigenous design of a nuclear weapon, including the testing of components and parts.
Yeah, but Iran have said that they're only doing it, you know, for civilian use and
medical reasons.
Like, you know, everyone knows that a small nuclear explosion, you know, can help a bit of heartburn, get rid of the hiccups. It just clears it all the way.
Just that little bit of a shock from a nuclear explosion.
Yeah. I think maybe a different explanation would be they're going to create, obviously, a lot of power with this. And electricity does need a bit of, you know, encouragement to go down the line.
Yeah.
Detonate it and it'll get to people's houses faster. Yeah. And it'll be better.
They also want to raise money by selling the entire idea to Maybelline so they can make a makeup that literally makes your face glow.
Other makeup products are available, I think. I hope. I don't know.
Cosmetic.
Yeah. Other cosmetic products are available.
So annoying, this.
Basically, Iran are like, no, we're not doing anything wrong. We're not making nuclear weapons. What's that over there? Nothing. It's just detonators. For what? Medical stuff.
Why can't you just believe our word?
Yeah.
We've never done anything
everyone
in the past.
Everyone knows that for an MRI scan, you'd need a detonator to detonate the MRIs. Whatever they are. Get out. Get out. This is a restricted area.
Why is it restricted? Well, there's nuclear material
Yeah. There's MRI scans everywhere.
And then they get a man on a motorbike with a baseball bat to hit them over the head.
Well, basically, we'll leave it around there for now.
But we are essentially laughing at the thing that is most probably going to kill us, aren't we?
World War III.
Yeah.
Maybe Call of Duty could think of a more modern idea than after this.
Other games are available. Just stop it, Adam. Basically, we're summing up our feelings towards Iran in this.
You're summing it up.
I'm summing it up. We're talking about lollies now.
Yeah, talking of so catchy. Oh,
that is terrible.
It's beautiful.
You can read the story now because I need to go and like be sick because of that pun.
I have just died a little bit inside.
Don't say you didn't enjoy it, Andy. Coming from you, Adam, that is
mine. Aren't that
harsh?
Man. Get on with the story now, please.
I feel offended now.
Go ahead, please. Tell us about lollies and catchiness.
Well, US authorities have warned parents that posting infected lollipops to other families who want their children to get chickenpox is against the law. But why are parents doing it? The news that some parents have apparently posted saliva-soaked tissues and licked lollipops to each other in an attempt to spread chickenpox amongst their children has been greeted with widespread condemnation. Doctors have included cautions that licking a supposedly infected lollipop is unlikely to pass on chickenpox, which is mostly an airborne virus, but could expose children to other, more serious ailments. And Jerry Martin, US attorney for the Middle District of Tennessee, warned that anyone attempting to send so-called pox packages through the mail would be breaking federal laws against shipping biohazards across state lines. This is incredible. The Facebook page on which parents were discussing pox packages, Find a Pox Party in Your Area, has now ceased to exist.
Other social networking sites are available. Carry on.
It says posting across state lines. I mean, you can send biohazards in the state.
As long as within the state, it's no problem.
If you're infecting your own, it's fine. Yeah. It's like family.
Gee, this is ridiculous, the story.
Yeah. Meg, who until recently ran a page on the aforementioned social networking site.
Good man.
Called Find a Pox Party Near You, told BBC News, "My son had a life-threatening reaction to his vaccinations. He developed chronic encephalitis, I hope that's right, seizures and a 105.7 degree temperature. He was never the same after those vaccinations."
The thing I would like to say is that vaccinations do not make you ill. You know, maybe your son has an autoimmune disease and something that you haven't thought of yet. I want to say this one thing to Meg. Shut up, Meg.
Shut up, Meg. So basically, they were trying to spread chickenpox by getting their child who has chickenpox to lick a lollipop
and send it through the mail.
Send it to someone across, say, a state, so their child could get it as well.
Yeah.
So now they're trying.
See, Iran doesn't even have to try and get nuclear weapons or bioweapons. They'll do it themselves.
Yeah. And then they try to find a pox party near you, which is, I suppose, is where you have one child who has chickenpox and then get everyone to spend a lot of time with him. And
yeah, just have him cough into a bottle.
Which everyone then just takes turns sucking out to try and get it. It's horrendous. What is going on?
The point of it is so that they get it as children, so they don't get shingles and other, an inflamed version of the virus when they're older.
Other life-threatening diseases are available. Just to take yours when they're...
But it just...
As far as I'm aware, chickenpox isn't a product name. It doesn't benefit from radio airtime. It's not that counting its money, though, now. This Week in Lies mentioned it this week. That'll do.
Screw you, E. Coli. Yeah.
Now we've given it some mention now. There we are. So we're benefiting the world equally.
This story is ridiculous. We have done some ridiculous stories.
I just think it's amazing that you could imagine them sort of holding this party, they get a clown and everything, there's just some one kid pale and coughing over everyone, and everyone's just sort of like, yay, Jimmy, and
he's just... Lick the lolly, Jimmy. Yeah, lick the other lolly, Jimmy.
And
keep licking,
spluttering and just sneezing all over everyone, everyone's like, yes.
It's so the sickly kid basically doesn't get bullied by the other seven-year-olds, isn't it, really? The one time he'll be popular in his life.
When he has chicken pox.
Yeah.
Oh... Really?
And then.
The main story of this week is the Occupy movement. Thousands of demonstrators have marched across New York's Brooklyn Bridge in one of several US rallies of support for the Occupy Wall Street movement. Some 250 people were arrested in New York alone, many of them as trouble flared near the stock exchange. Protesters have accused police of brutality, with some TV images showing a man with a bloodied face being arrested, and at least seven police officers have been hurt. The rallies have marked 2 months since the movement against inequality began, with the march planned before demonstrators swept 2 days ago from New York's Zuccotti Park, or Freedom Square as it's been renamed. Yeah, I know. Where they had camped since mid-September, although they are looking for a new area, slash might be allowed back in. In rallies across the US on Thursday, there were rallies in Los Angeles with about 500 marchers chanting anti-bank slogans, and somehow 24 of them were arrested for it. City officials in Dallas evicted a protesters' camp detaining nearly 20 people. Arrests were made in Portland, Oregon, as activists tried to occupy a city centre Wells Fargo Bank branch. Dozens more demonstrators were held by police in Las Vegas and St. Louis. Protesters shut the River Bridge in Chicago during rush hour, whilst activists in Seattle, Washington closed the University Bridge. Rallies were also held at bridges, considered in disrepair in Miami, Florida, Detroit, Michigan, Boston, as activists called for infrastructure projects to create jobs, and there were smaller protests elsewhere, including in Denver, Colorado, and Washington, D.C. The day's events began with hundreds of demonstrators gathering at the edge of New York's financial district, but they were unable to get past junctions blocked by police as scuffles broke out, and some of them were dragged away by officers. Some onlooked applauded as the demonstrators were moving past them and, you know, showing their support for it, whilst someone shouted, "Get a job," which is kind of what all of this is about, the fact that people can't get jobs.
Kind of missed the point there, buddy.
Yeah, it isn't surprising for some people in New York, but never mind. One protester commented to the New York Times, "It's cold, but what should we do? Capitalism doesn't get cold and go home, so I won't."
Flawless logic.
What an odd analogy.
But the Occupy movement is growing in numbers, with more and more protesters sitting occurring around the world. Within the Occupy website, the entire like umbrella organisation, now having a find an Occupy near you. And how to start an Occupy? Well, do you know what, Ben? It's time to start one here. Occupy Bellrig. I'm not moving. We shall not be moved. Well, I shall not be moved, but we shall not be moved.
I'm just going to silence him in the name of democracy.
You can't silence the truth.
I like the fact that they've got on their website how to start an Occupy movement.
Go and
get people, go to a place, stay there.
So that's the tent. That's the reason you have the tent, because
yeah,
you're going
to
camp out.
I'm sitting in the studio. I'm not going to move at all in this episode. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to protest at the bankers who won't be able to actually see me because I'm inside of a studio, but actually that's a major issue. I might have to take this outside. Actually, it's quite cold. I'm going to do one at home, in bed. That's going to be my Occupy movement.
But capitalism doesn't get cold, Adam.
I do, though.
The oppressive radio movement does not get cold.
Well, okay, my radio self will stay here at all times. And I'm not going to move for you, Ben. Don't care about the establishment. I'm going to bring it down.
And you're a radical one.
I know.
You're a radical.
I do. This is called War Going On For Your Mind by Flowbots. FIFA news now.
And Sepp Blatter is not being very considerate. Who would have guessed it?
FIFA belittling racism. Next you'll be saying that Switzerland has loads of Nazi gold. I can change the joke, boys. I've got two.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
I have allegedly two jokes, or they have allegedly Nazi gold.
No, it's not allegedly you have two jokes. That is not in contention here.
Well, I'd say it's alleged. But
Switzerland don't have Nazi gold. It's all alleged.
They do.
But moving on very quickly.
Views of Adam Hayes don't reflect that of Bellrig FM or This Week in Life. Switzerland, if you're listening.
But they do with the wider international community.
Shut up. It's bullet news now.
Well, the lack of buying bullet news, I think you mean. But
go ahead, Dave. I think it's probably not bullets, more just protective gear to save people's lives. But I won. The Ministry of Defence has spent almost £600 million from the military's equipment budget in the last 2 years to hire hundreds of outside specialists and consultants, routinely breaching government guidelines controlling this type of expenditure. An internal audit of signed defence contracts has highlighted numerous flaws and warned that control of the MOD purse appeared to be poorly developed or non-existent. The report also stated that defence officials made little or no effort to ensure that contracts provided value for money. Despite the numerous concerns raised in the report, a defence minister said nothing was wrong.
What?
Apparently. The scale of spending and the apparent lack of control came at a time when the development has been making thousands of civilian and military personnel redundant to cut spiralling costs. The MOD confirmed the figures and said stricter rules had been introduced.
Well, this is going back a while when they actually started paying £8 for light bulbs, for individual light bulbs, so it does not surprise me that they've been paying over the top for anything else, really.
Yeah, well, I'd, somebody told me that their dad was contracted to the MOD at some point, and he took a quote back to his superior, and he said, "Is that an all right quote for the MOD?" And he said, "No, at least double that and add a zero."
They're essentially the Man City of the football department, aren't they? They're just, oh, we'll just keep spending in the hope it does something.
Just throw money in the black hole, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
You just wonder how specialists and consultants can cost that much. What advice are they giving?
Shoot bullets at the people who aren't on your side.
How? I also want to know how you... I mean, okay, fair enough, having some advisors is necessary, but how do you... the scale of it is ridiculous, because it's like, after you've got maybe 30 advisors, maybe, for, you know, every single department and country or whatever, it's like, well, what do you need? Have you got two advisors for everything?
£300 million a year was spent on advisors.
Is someone advising what coffee and tea to buy?
Is someone then advising that person
how to advise?
Maybe they're advising them on the price of the coffee and tea.
Maybe you want to advise in a different way. Maybe you should advise in this way instead. Now I'll take my check and leave.
How much middle management does the MOD have?
I've no idea, but it seems pretty ridiculous. £600 million in the last 2 years, which could have gone towards tanks, bullets, body protection, anything.
ID protection. Anything. I hope those advisors or whatever they are sitting at home pretty pleased with themselves and things are going on, because £600 million.
It is a lot of money. It's a ridiculous amount of money.
You'd hope so, because, you know, politicians always go, oh, we're going to cut back on red tape and cut out bureaucracy, without ever giving an actual example. Well, this is definitely one of those, and they've said there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, the one place where they could go, oh, guys, we're spending £300 million a year on advisors. Yeah, no, don't worry about it.
We need them all.
Yeah, he gets good coffee. He's a good coffee advisor.
If one of them goes down for a couple of weeks with a knee injury, I need somebody straight in there to replace him.
Yeah.
Of a similar ability level.
And to be fair, we have that on this show for me when I eventually go down. We have a backup. So, yeah, it's just MOD being sensible here.
I don't think you need a squad of, like, a million, honestly.
It'd be interesting getting into that office in the morning.
MOD reserve advisor squad.
Just sat there like, Jimmy, it's your day today, you can do this for me.
They're all there stapling, writing as fast as they can, practicing doing, you know, writing. Like, I've got to get on my advice game.
Hoovering up all the young talent around Europe, is it?
We're laughing, but this is genuinely quite annoying.
It's £600 million that has been siphoned out of funds that could be
going to the front line, basically saving the people you've put out there borderline illegally.
Allegedly.
It wasn't me this time.
I said borderline.
That doesn't reflect, that doesn't mean allegedly. Borderline doesn't mean alleged. It means just shut up.
I said borderline, Your Honour. How's that slander?
He looks like a borderline criminal. Well, that's slander, isn't he?
That's the Daily Mail. Anyway,
for God's sake.
It's true.
And Adam Haynes and David Fisher. Actually, they don't reflect. This Week in Lies does not reflect on Berwick FM. Don't judge the station because of these two oafs.
Just do not listen to anything we say. Switch off the radio.
No, don't say that.
Curry news now.
Yes,
definitely curry a superb news. Story.
Are you going off, shall I?
I'll do it.
Okay, well, go ahead.
The Community Secretary Eric Pickles is to make a UK curry college that would teach British workers the secret of perfect pakoras, a showpiece of the government's integration strategy to publish shortly. Pickles Curry College, as it is being called, he didn't call it that himself, he would see the government backing a school to train British people from all backgrounds to become chefs, specialising in Indian food as an answer to the crisis in the £3.2 billion curry industry, triggered by the Home Office's ban on bringing in chefs from Bangladesh, India and Pakistan.
So they're just spending more money on a problem that they could have fixed by allowing the people who actually know how to cook it properly into the country.
pretty much.
Well done.
As it says in the next paragraph, the scheme is in line with Conservative policy to make deep cuts in immigration numbers on the basis that we do not need to attract people to do jobs that could be carried out by British citizens, given the right training and support. Yes, Adam?
And the fact that half of the British citizens who could do these jobs can't be bothered doing these jobs, which is why these people are
also
bought
in. I think a lot of curry recipes are actually, like, you know,
British.
Yeah, and the fact that the ones that aren't British are really deep-rooted family sort of localised recipes for things. You can't just go, yeah, bang that in, bang that in, and then what if it doesn't go right? They can't fix it. They're just going, well, this is the list of ingredients. And
it's like when they said about strawberry pickers. Oh, no one wants to be a strawberry picker. Well, yeah, because British people don't want to do it. So that's why they use Eastern Europeans. It's stupid.
Mm. This also chimes with the position of Ian Duncan Smith, the Work and Pension Secretary. In July, he appeared to echo Gordon Brown's infamous plea for British jobs for British worker, but has since said that he rejects that in favour of a policy of getting British workers ready for British jobs.
This is all different.
Nah. The idea is backed in the long-awaited integration strategy being hammered out between Whitehall departments, which says the government is to support British excellence in the Asian and Oriental catering sector. The strategy, which is yet to get final approval by Downing Street, will see a distinct shift away from Labour's language in this area. Talk of promoting local community cohesion is out, and talking of promoting integration is now in, with tolerance as the new watchword. It follows David Cameron's Munich speech earlier this year, when he criticised state multiculturalism and argued that the UK needed a stronger national identity.
Mm. And that's definitely going to be improved by getting people to make foreign food.
Yeah.
That really solidifies the Britishness.
Basically, if you can make a curry and then an Indian guy comes around to your house and you make a curry for him, you're going to bond.
Yeah.
That's all Indian people think about.
And if you say something offensive by doing that, just shake your hand at the end of the meal. It's perfect.
Yeah. Cameron and Blatter teaming up. The dream team.
Combat racism.
The integration strategy has taken months to get cross-government agreement and still not been finalised, but Whitehall sources indicate Downing Street is taking an active interest and it should be published shortly. The draft paper confirms the strategy will be broken down in four separate strands: establishing common ground, increasing social mobility, improving participation and countering intolerance and extremism. Among its proposals are believed to be a new drive against anti-Muslim hatred in Britain, and recognition anti-Semitism is also growing. Events to celebrate the Queen's Diamond Jubilee and the Olympic Games that bring together different communities. An online integration forum which includes a barrier-busting site to remove bureaucratic barriers and encourage different community and faith groups to come together. And also an initiative to establish common ground with gypsy and traveller communities. Conservative ministers see the integration as an essential element alongside a much tougher drive to reduce immigration, including requirements for a new family and labour migrants to be able to speak English.
So they're saying that, you know, they do need to cut red tape. So what they're doing on this issue is by making more red tape of regulations and suggestions to get rid of red tape of people not liking Muslims or Jews. That seems a great idea. But
I just don't know how this whole thing is going to work.
I don't understand why they're doing it.
If you're going to try to encourage Britishness, then I don't. First of all,
stop having a German as the Queen.
I just don't even understand where you can come from Britishness, considering that British people are an amalgamation of many different races and cultures. It's like almost like America is that our culture. Well, famously, our culture is like, you know, sipping tea on a green whilst watching cricket. Very old sort of. Or playing garden balls, but nowadays, what is Britishness for a start?
I've thought part of it is we are a democracy and a free nation, so allowing multiculturalism is part of that. So,
yeah.
Why would you want to go back on state multiculturalism, as he calls it?
Yeah.
It's one sort of defined Britishness standard.
It's because he doesn't want it to be state multiculturalism, he wants it to be free market multiculturalism in line with every other conservative belief. Yeah, I just wanted to get that in.
Is he going to, the Labour going to come back in and nationalise all cultures? We're buying the tikka masala recipe.
State subsidies. It's ironic that Eric Pickles wanted a curry college as well, some people have noted.
Yeah.
I reckon he's rather hair soup.
to you. The picture on the article is just him in a curry house holding an award as well. Which is brilliant by The Guardian.
The man who ate the most curries in one sitting, Eric Pickles, with 72.
It's probably why we need more chefs to cook them.
I think he may be the biggest blagger in history. Basically, he was thinking about what he was having for his tea and then asked for an idea and he said, Curry College. What's that, Eric? People learn to make curry.
Yes.
Overall, it's a pretty interesting story. Don't know how it's going to work out, but
I look forward to it.
That was the best of Series 3, Part 2. Join us again very shortly for our third and final installment, and thank you for listening.